trying to look at lessons, I often bring up this fact that when I try to find things to share with you and with others and with the people that we reach out to online, is trying to look inward too and see some of the things that I struggle with. And one of the things I thought was useful for me is being drawn away. And on the big thing, you might think, well, are you talking about being drawn away from the church or drawn away from your Christianity? That's not the case. I think, as we'll get into a lot of these things, it's just distractions that kind of eat at us. And I thought about this a little bit yesterday. Brad made a comment at the gravesite of his grandma. He was talking about her stability in Christ, and it's the opposite of what I'm talking about today. It's the idea of being drawn away and distracted by things in our Christian pursuits, even in our physical and worldly pursuits, sometimes is the distractions eat away at us, and they eat away at children, they eat away at parents, they eat away at grandparents, and they certainly eat away at the church. And the stability that he was talking about was a stability in Christ that he felt his grandmother had, and so we want to kind of think about those things today. So let's get into the lesson. I started off with a comment here I thought was pretty useful for me and maybe for us to kind of set the tone for this lesson. And it says on the board behind me, while we often talk about the values to staying focused, which is something that we all do, spiritually, at home, on the job, while driving, we don't always discuss the things that can draw us away from focus. And so that's what we're going to do today is look at those things. I was trying to find a quote that I hadn't used before. I certainly have reached to the Bible for our spiritual things, but I'd never heard of this guy. I like his name. Antisthenes was supposed to be an ancient Greek Cynic philosopher living between 445 and 360 BC. But I like the quote. I was mostly looking for a quote that worked well with today's lesson. And he said, "Pay attention to your enemies, for they are the first to discover your mistakes." And really, that is exactly what we're going to be talking about today. What are the things that Satan uses as devices for us to say, we'll just put this little thing out here and make Roger reach for it, and that's going to cause him problems. And so that's what we want to think about today. I keep going through my mind trying to figure this out. I reached out. My sister is Carrie and my brother is Levi. They're the second and last of the family of the Starnes. And I'm almost positive it was my sister Carrie, but I reached out to both of them yesterday and I said, what was that toy that you guys had where you would take a crown or a marker and you draw on a piece of plastic and that little train would follow it? And they said, I don't know. And I was like, why am I asking them? If they were playing with it as a child, they probably have no recollection of it. But I started trying to find that thing and I never could find exactly what they had. But I did find one and I got the video of it on here. I've got the volume turned down just to make sure everybody's okay with that. But the video's a little bit jerky here, but when they start showing this, it's illustrating exactly what we're talking about. And this is what the toy did that my sister or my brother or maybe even Katie had. I can't remember who it was. But you had these markers on these plastic boards and you would just draw it and the device would recognize that compared to the white lines on there and it would just follow it around. And I love some of the things this kid's doing on here because in this case, it's a little bulldozer or a little tractor, lift tractor. I'm almost positive the one that my brother or sister or daughter had was a little train, and they do show that if you saw the beginning on there, and it's going to stop there, but we won't continue to go on there, but it was just, I love the idea of there. Being drawn away is that distraction, but as a graphic designer, I was thinking about being drawn away. What can I do to draw people away from something? And that sounds bad, but really that's my job half the time. An advertiser or a marketing person, a graphic designer, my job is to make something look enticing enough for people to pay attention to it so that they follow it to understand what's being either sold or offered as a service or those kind of things. And we'll get into some of these things. So drawn away is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just the point there is what's happening to you at that moment? What are you being drawn from? So as I've got on the board there, so what are some things that can draw us away from focus? And we're going to look at about three top 10 things here. But curiosity is certainly one of the things that can draw us away. I was looking for pictures there, and I like this little girl, mostly because she kind of reminds me of my niece, Kaylee. You've probably seen here from time to time. But kids, when they have that look on there, sometimes parents need to watch out, or grandparents need to watch out. Why are they looking at that so intently? What's so interesting to them? Because you know what kids will do. They'll say, there's an open door. I'll go check this thing out. Or why is that in the front yard? That's really neat. There's something happening to that child's mind that says, woo, I want to see what that is. And sometimes they'll get themselves into trouble with that curiosity. So curiosity is one thing that can happen to us. Fear is another thing that can draw us away. I need to go someplace or I need to do something, but I'm uncomfortable about that. Sometimes we don't take jobs because we're not comfortable with that situation. I don't know if I can do that. Or those people, or all those things can sometimes be problems for us. Kids, a lot of times, they don't want to walk into a place. And so a lot of my images in this first section here are related to kids. But fear can draw us away. You want to start going someplace and you get to a place and it's like, it's really dark, it's really uncomfortable, I'd rather not do it. And us, we adults can do that too. I was like, I don't really, this place is kind of sketchy. We use terms like that and we just try to avoid them. Another thing on our list there is hunger. This dog apparently has an appetite. I was thinking about Patty's son and daughter-in-law. I went to their house. They've got a beautiful dog. I think it's a lab. And that dog is so much fun, but that dog understands that it can pretty much have its way with a table or the counter or anything. So if you go over there, you got to make sure you're way back off the sides. And this dog here, I believe, is trying to have a little fish for its appetite. But hunger can draw us away. It doesn't matter our age there. Kids can certainly grab things that you don't want them to grab and try to eat them. I know one of the things we were worried about when we put these containers up here and the plastic things on there was we were afraid maybe the kids would try to eat the fruit, which there's little grapes on there. It's like, well, so far that's not happened, but we still kind of keep our eye on it. But hunger can distract us. It can just distract all of us. If we go to the doctor and the doctor says, Roger, your weight should be, and I can tell you, my height and my age, I should be 190 pounds. I'm not 190 pounds. I usually do a pretty good job staying fit, but I can tell you I'm probably about 30 plus over that. So one nice thing about being tall is I can hide it better. But it's still hard for me to put my suit pants on. Another thing that can draw us away is being enticed. I mean, just the idea of doing something that is interesting to me or interesting to you. What happens to any of you could be something that has no effect on me, but that idea of enticing someone with something. I keep going back to my childhood when I used to sit in the backyard. And I think I've told this before. I used to sit on the shed on the back of our house in North Dayton, and I'd run a string out to a pencil that I had a... Remember when we had the milk jugs that were paper? I would cut the tops off of them and lift it up and put a piece of bread under there because I was hoping I'd catch a bird. I never caught a bird. I don't think I ever got a bird close to there, but I was trying to entice that bird by saying, "Ooh, look at that bread Rogers got out there," and it'd fly down, and I'd like, "I caught it!" But I had no idea what I would do after that. But that's something that can happen to us. Satisfaction. It sounds like a good thing, but satisfaction can draw us away. Something that makes me happy, something that's enjoyable for me. Those kind of things can get in our way sometimes too. Enjoyment, interests sometimes. I like this picture here. We've probably, if you've ever had a dog, you've probably experienced this before. Especially if you have something like these poles here, or this metal fencing on this backyard. But a lot of times a dog is so interested in seeing somebody, it's like, somebody new, somebody new. Sometimes they're very angry about it. You're on my property, I'm going to try to bite you. But other times they're just like, I want to play with you, I want to go do something with you. And so they jump through there. And it's easy to put those front paws through there, maybe even their head through there, but sometimes the rest of their body doesn't fit through there. And so they get trapped by being interested in something. And that can happen to us too. How many times have we found something interesting and we got down into it? One of the terms that's going around all the time these days is rabbit hole. I got into the rabbit hole. I started down this thing. It was interesting, and by the time I was done, I had spent too much time. So those kind of things are important. Fun is another thing that can draw us away. That's fun. Let's go do that. Well, what about your homework? I mean, you hear that argument with kids all the time. I don't think any of us are going to casinos, but one of the things that draws people into casinos is the luxury of it. There's lights everywhere. There's music. There's food. A lot of musical artists are now going to places like Las Vegas to perform, trying to be there to draw people away, to draw them into those environments. I've heard people say that casinos typically have a lighting system so that it looks like it's daytime all day. And so some people will go there and play these games and spend their money day and night, not realizing what time it was. Number 10, flashy signs. Sometimes things that flicker and things that get our attention that way can be interesting to us. Sometimes they can tell us whether they're open or not. Spotlights, I think this is from the Harry Potter thing that's done, I keep wanting to say Hollywood, and that's not what I was thinking of, but it's one of the places just outside of Orlando down there, and they've got this thing, but they throw in those spotlights on. But I've seen spotlights on a lot of small places here, grand openings, and they put the spotlights in the sky, and you're saying, like, what is going on there? Why are these lights going back and forth? And you actually, most people will go to where the source of that is just to say, oh, they're opening a brand new something. And so people are interested in those things. They draw us away. Lights blinking, same thing. Decoys. I know we do have at least a few hunters in here. I was hoping Nathan would be very happy with this assortment of decoys here. I'm not sure how much duck hunting he does. A lot of people say duck and goose are, if you do like eating wild animals, are very greasy. And so I pretty much just don't eat anything that's not domesticated. So cows and pigs, that's about as far as I go. But one of the things with a decoy, why do you put plastic ducks inside water if you're a hunter? Why do you put them out there in places that look like real animals? Well, you want those other ones that are flying over saying, there's a good place to land. Oh, there's a bunch of people down there. Let's go and land down there. So that's the whole goal for hunters that are using decoys is say, I'm hunting today. I need to get a bird to land down here so that I can shoot it and I can eat it. So they're putting all these plastic things out there. But really for humans, there's decoys like that too, things that distract us from what we're doing. This was, I think, a staged accident here, but just the idea of phones and texts being a problem to draw us away. And we'll get into that in a couple of other slides, talking about things that are dangerous for drivers. But just so easy to have a terrible accident because we're distracted by something. If I asked everybody to raise their hand, if they have a phone and they drive regularly, have you ever looked at it while you've been driving? Probably almost all of us would raise our hand. I know better than to do it, but I still do it when I think, okay, this is a long straightaway, I can just go ahead and yep. That's a bad habit to do. And things like this can happen. An accident, just, I can't really see it there, but in this staged accident, there's a kid driving by on his bicycle, watching that accident happen just feet away. Very scary. Videos can distract us. Puppies can distract us. This is a European picture here. I feel like it's staged, but it's supposed to be a live video of someone in Europe driving their car. You can see everybody's going the wrong way, so it might confuse you a little bit. But this kid just walked out in front of the car, and everybody off to the side's all covering their eyes and their heads. I don't see one of them reaching for the child, which is unfortunate. But I've seen too many times, and we probably all have, even our own children, running out into the street because a puppy has run out there, or they're so interested in chasing a ball or a basketball or a hula hoop or whatever the case is. That for that moment, the most important thing to them was getting that out of the street, forgetting what could happen to their lives, and very dangerous. Candy, certainly a way to distract people. I know a lot of people that have had abductions, have dealt with that. A little kid, somebody offering candy, they say, okay, I'll take it, and they just get taken away. Toys, flowers, we don't think about this too much, but whether this is a girl like is on this picture or something that's appealing to a guy, sometimes relationships, you can make somebody a little too happy with you, even if they're maybe not interested in you or maybe interested in you for the incorrect reasons, but it's going to draw us away. And so something just to kind of think about. Jumping over to workplace distractions. I'm sorry, my remote is going really slow today. So cell phones. I can tell you I'm a lead at R&L in our media department, which means I'm a small manager. I'm one of two leads, and we basically take care of all the employee stuff, and then our manager is the one that's the final judgment on that. But I have people on our team that I'm constantly having to say, please, don't just put that away. And it's so easy for people to do that. We have a couple breaks during the day. We have lunchtime. People can do those things. But too many times I see people supposed to be working and they're doing this. It's like, what are you doing? Stop doing that. And it happens everywhere. Sometimes they're important. And people say, well, my mom's in the hospital or my kids are at school today and one of them's not feeling well. Those things are sometimes understandable. But again, you can't interrupt your work when you're doing those things. Internet browsing, gossip, some other things, social media, just as bad, people getting on their computers. And sometimes I see people at work that I walk up onto, not in our department all the time, but in other departments, I'll walk up there and say they're clearly on Facebook or they're clearly on LinkedIn or they're clearly on something else that's not work-related, and it disappears when you get close to them. It's like, that is not what you're supposed to be doing. But those things are distractions. They can take them away. Email is the same way. This is another really bad one. We've gone from a non-COVID environment at work to a COVID environment at work, and you kind of forgot how bad of a problem this used to be. But when people come in now, we have three or four people, and myself being one of them, that's been at the office almost the whole time since COVID started taking people working from home. But now when they come into the office, they're all catching up with one another. And so two or three of us are doing work nonstop and listening to everybody else going, oh, they need to get going. Come on, get back to work here. But same thing is going on for this woman here. So very easy to get drawn away. And sometimes a good topic will still even take the most dedicated employee into a conversation. Meetings, smoke, snack breaks, noisy coworkers. One of the things they had on this one, and I'll give the URL here in a second, but it's just sitting in a cubicle is a workplace distraction. And I think probably what they were thinking there is what happens to one of my designers is when people come around the corner, his location, we don't have cubicles, but they're kind of cubicles. They see him first and they just go straight up to him and start talking. And so he gets involved with them and it's a distraction for him. But Business News Daily is where some of those things were from. Top 10 driving distractions. Texting while driving. Using a GPS. I thought that using a GPS was kind of a silly thing to put in here because it's almost antiquated. I remember when we all used to have GPS Garmins and stuff on our dashes, and well, they used to be really helpful until it took us to a field when we were trying to find a Walmart or something. But our phones are our GPS, and so we're either looking at our phones for texting or we're looking at our phones for an exit. And I can tell you, I've done it. You've probably been behind people doing it. Everybody's in rush hour traffic, but there's one person in front of everybody going really slow and slightly off to the road. Sometimes they're weaving even, but most of the time they're saying, where's my exit? Where's my exit? Where's my exit? And so they can be very distracting. Maybe they're giving them information that's useful, but very distraction. Talking to passengers. Another one was on here, number four, dealing with pets or children. Sometimes it's important things that you're dealing with, but as it's showing here, sometimes just reaching for that mirror and looking and see what your kid's doing. They got one kid up on the front passenger seat, but I know for us, we used to have a kid in the back or two kids in the back, and if they were having problems or sick or coughing or whatever, you could stare at that rearview mirror way too often and sometimes cause problems for your successful driving. I didn't think about this one too much, but they had adjusting the audio or climate controls, and that's sometimes a problem. You're listening, and sometimes football games can be pretty important, and so you lose signals like, come on, why is that not doing? And it just keeps your eyes on the radio too often. Eating and drinking. Hopefully nobody's driving around with a chicken leg and a pop like this. This is pretty scary, but I think we probably all have. One of the images I was going to use show a dumped over thing of French fries on the console. They were basically trying to sell one of those console dividers where the fries fall in there and you just lift that out and you can throw them away instead of having it trapped under your seat. But I think we've probably all been there too. Even if you're not trying to eat the food while you're driving, you shift lanes or you have to stop for somebody and all of a sudden this stuff dumps out. That becomes your top priority and you are not watching the road anymore. So very good things to draw us away. Another thing that can happen to us is daydreaming, applying makeup and grooming. I have this happen all the time. I'm always putting my lipstick on, so just kidding. I've talked to a lot of people. Some people do it. I know I have a coworker that is one of our best designers, and she's always picked on by one of our custodial staff because she's seen her applying her mascara on her eyes as she's going down the road. I was like, stop, I don't want to hear these things. But again, sometimes we feel like we're in a comfortable place that we can do those things. Please wait for the clicker. Smoking and emotions. Emotions was one I thought was odd for this list too. And again, the list, you can get that. It's from Blue Fire Insurance, which is an insurance company that does a good job of trying to make sure you think about things. But emotions, I think, is a good one because a lot of times we hear about people having these rage incidents on the freeway. They're angry and they start beating people's cars up or they start hitting them. Sometimes because they're just dealing with some difficult things in their family or difficult circumstances at work. And so we need to keep all these things in check. Some of the top 10 most common distractions when studying online, and this one I was trying to do all for Kyle, so I hope we'll see if he's shaking his head a lot. Social media. Does that ever happen, Kyle, at the college? Do you ever see kids not paying attention to you and to that? Yeah, emails, phone calls, videos, TVs and movies. This actually is probably a good situation. I think this guy's actually a coach who's reviewing film and putting things on his computer, but I was looking for an image that showed a computer that was supposed to be doing one thing and a football game on the other. But that can distract us. One of the things I always try to remember when I'm working on my lesson for here or for any of the talks that I've done is to turn off the TV and turn off the radio except for music that's not got words in it because you'll often get taken away by those things. And if you like sports like I do, you can certainly get taken away from what you're supposed to be doing. And so those kind of things we need to watch out. They will draw us away. online games, really problematic for kids. And I say kids, and these days I'm not sure what the limit is. I've got what I consider adults working for me that still play these games, not so much at work, but they do enjoy them. And the internet, it's just a draw for all kinds of information. Same thing for noise. Thought this was interesting, as one of the most common distractions when studying online is temperature. It's too cold in here, and I know what they're talking about. I worked from home a couple times this week because I had some appointments at the house. I had a blanket on my leg, and I kept thinking in my head, I'm a grandpa now, and is this happening this fast? It's like, stop it, I don't want to think about this. I'm not blaming it for being a grandpa, but that will distract us. If you're shivering or you're too hot, you're not going to be thinking about what you're supposed to be doing. Number 9 on their list was hunger, and I put this in quotes because I don't think a lot of us that get hungry and distracted by what we're doing is so much real hunger. It's like, ooh, I need to eat because I've not eaten in a while. It's like, that sounds good. How about a donut or some potato chips or whatever? Those things can be big distractions. Procrastination, I'm guilty of that sometimes too, but that's from the getcourse.com. It's an Australian site, or Austrian site. So continuing on, so what I've got on the text behind me, here is what we want to be aware of our adversaries and be prepared to deal with them. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I've only got a few passages here, but they're a pretty good read. We've come across this so many times in Kyle's study and in Brad's study, but this is basically God saying to the children of Israel, here's the deal. You do this, or you don't, and you do this, I'm going to treat you one way or another. And this just goes right all the way through the entirety of the Bible, but I love how it reads. It says, and starting in verse 11 of chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, New King James, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven, that you should say, 'Who will ascend to heaven for us, and bring it to us, that we may hear and do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea, that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us, and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it." Okay, so what is it? "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess." Okay, we just talked about life and good and death and evil. Which one does that sound like? Well, that sounds like life and good. But it continues on. But, and we've talked about this before, the word but or if changes the whole conversation. "But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away," which is our lesson today, "and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall surely die. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan and go in to possess. I call to heaven and earth as witness to you today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life, and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." So such a great thing right there, laying it all out. I've got you taken care of, but do these things. You don't do them, you're going to be in trouble. Just such a great picture in such a short passage. As I've got behind me now, if we are not drawn away, we are able to do what this passage says. James 1, 12 through 15 says, "Blessed is the man or woman who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Again, such a perfect picture. You could just almost take that last part of that passage and say, what are my problems to watch out for? It's right there. So we can have those things if we're careful. So what are my top 10 distractions for Christians? For me, and for maybe you as well. It's cozy to sit around and watch TV or sports instead of doing things that might be more spiritual focused. entertainment. I'd like to do that with the brethren. I know they're meeting at somebody's house or they're having a discussion or a class, but oh man, I gotta watch Ohio State play. This is what we felt like until they got beat by Michigan last week, but I don't want to let sports kind of get into us here. Our homes. I had a whole list of things that can be for our homes. I'm paying for our homes, fixing our homes, extending our homes, repairing our homes, whatever those cases may be. Sometimes they are distractions for us. Our work. We've all been trapped at work by things that we've got to do. In most cases, we can probably alleviate that by trying to get to work a little earlier and trying to extend it over more time, but sometimes we don't. Our family, we sometimes use as excuses when we don't have time for things that are more spiritually focused. Health and exercise. I think about Paul, and I believe it was one of his letters that he wrote, and he says, bodily exercise profits a little bit, but that's not what we're all about. Attractive women or attractive men. Sometimes those are huge distractions for people. I put for some men and for some women. Some people are fine with that, but some people look at people and they're attracted to them and kind of forget where they're at. Socializing in public can sometimes be problematic. And again, over and over we're going to come up on this, the internet and social media. So you might say, Roger, what can we do? Well, here's what I have is suggestions for me and you. Psalm 73:28 says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. Talking about God. Matthew 15:7 starting, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. We don't want our heart to be fake to God. We need it to be true. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. James 4:7-9, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. So only when you're not doing those things do you need to feel this way. So we've got that list there. We've got the top 10 things that Roger suggested are distractions for us. But I've got them all marked out there. And going back to that quote from the Antisthenes there, pay attention to your enemies, for they are the first to discover your mistakes. I want to be an active Christian. I want to be a good teacher for my church. I want to be a great example of Christ for my children, my family, my wife, my husband, whoever that could be. I want to be a good example of a Christian at work. But is it going to help me to be cozy and watch TV? Is it going to help me to be entertained? None of those things on that list are problematic. But as we're talking about here, all those things can draw us away from focus. And so we need to be very careful about that. So this morning, not a real long lesson. Glennon was so worried about it, he even had to sit down on that last song before the lesson today. So he was really worried we were going to be here for hours. But that's not true. But it is true that there is a lot of things in life that draw us away. I struggle with a lot of them. Sometimes they're small things, but they just, oh, that's interesting. Just like that little girl when we first started. What is that? That's sometimes the detriment of all people. Something that is just interesting at the moment that you don't need it to be. We can have conditions that we look for those things and are interested in them, but we don't need to let them draw us away. If we want to be a united church, a strong church, a church that we know for sure that we can do like we used to do when we played, if I can remember the name of it, might need some kids help there. What was the game where you hook elbows and you try not to let somebody cut through there? Red Rover, thank you. Yes. So Red Rover, send somebody right over. Well, if you're interlocked properly, you're not going to let that person get through. But if you're all hanging your arms down there, they're going to just walk right through and the game will be lost. And so let's try to have the stability that we talked about and what Brad mentioned yesterday. We can have these things, and we just need to try harder. We just need to watch out for them. And being sensitive to them is probably the most important thing. So think about these things this morning. The lesson not necessarily is inviting a non-Christian to Christ, but a non-Christian does understand the work environment or the life environment that they're stuck in. And God does not have a place for you reserved in heaven until you accept Him. And so that's very important. And for those of us that have accepted Christ in our lives, it says that we are just walking on top of Christ's death. We're just treading right over Him if we aren't making our life in a place that's good for Him, in a place that shows that we care about Him. So please think about these things this morning. Don't just sing the song of invitation, but think about your condition. Think about the things that distract you and draw you away. And if we can be of help, please let those things be known as we stand and sing.